If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn and read with you. I'm going to read a portion of the Sermon on the Mount again. This is from the 6th chapter of Matthew. This account is also given in the 12th chapter of Luke, but this is the more familiar to at least myself and probably many people of this particular account. And a lot of times, the last portion of what I'm going to read is what preachers preach on. That's not what I'm going to preach on, the Lord being my helper. And I certainly need his help. I'm going to start with the 25th verse and read the remainder of the chapter. These are the words of Jesus as he said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature," which is 18 inches, "and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, or for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I guess kind of the moral of that is to take one day at a time, as the song says, "One day at a time, sweet Jesus." But the thought that I want to get from this is several things that was mentioned in here. He says, take no thought. Now, that doesn't mean not to think about it. It means not to worry about it. Worry is a big subject because it's something that all of us are subject to. And yet, worry is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. There's a statement that says that fear knocked at the door, faith answered, no one was there. Because when faith is applied, fear is cast away. When faith is applied, worry is cast away. And not going into the individual things where he said to take no thought of, but the generalization of those things I want to make mention of. That whether it be the birds of the air, and he refers to them as ravens in Luke's account of this, or it be the lilies of the field that come up, and they're beautiful flowers, just as are many beautiful flowers. Linda has a bunch of beautiful flowers on the kitchen table at home right now. And each one of them, in all of their glory, is just better than things that man can put together. Man can make things that are pretty and enjoyable and looks nice to our eyes, but as far as the glory of them or the magnificence of them, none of them are like what God has created in his a world that he has put together and given us. Even among the thorns and the thistles, there's beautiful flowers that come there. And the point that he's making is that, you know, we worry about what we're going to wear. And how many times do people, you know, stand up, "I ain't got anything to wear when the closet's full." It's just because we can't kind of narrow it down and we can't figure out what we're going to wear, what we're going to put together, and all these type things, which is not a major worry for most people. But sometimes it's still a worry that we shouldn't even really be thinking about, because our concern is how do we look for other people? How do we appear to other people? How are we supposed to put on airs for other people, basically, and make us feel good about ourselves, about what we wear? And some people just worry about eating. There's a proverb, and I'm not going to take time to go to that, but that talks about a laboring man, a person that works hard and maybe not have enough to eat, but he'll sleep good at night. And the rich man toils and tumbles in his sleep worrying about keeping his riches, which it depends on, you know, how your relationship with God is as to whether that makes sense to some folks. But still, people worry about a lot of things in life. The focal thought that I want to look at is found in the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. And Paul writes and says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, he says, "Be careful for nothing." The word careful there means anxious. Don't be anxious about things of this world. And being anxious means worrying. So he says, don't worry. That's a big thing not to do, is not to worry. And yet we find that if we, he gives the answer to worrying here. He said, "But by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." With prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, that's the things that are supposed to be incorporated in our prayers as we approach God. We thank him for the things he's done for us, and we let him know what we feel that we have need of. And we ask him for those things and approach him on that basis. And so when we have things that bring us concern, that draws us into worrying, then we need to take that to the Lord. And whether it's something about our business, whether it's something about our family, whether it's something about some lost soul, that we need to take those things to the Lord and approach him in all that we have concern about in life. Now, it's not to say that we shouldn't be or have these concerns, that we think about somebody that's lost, but we pray for them because we can't save them. And when we see people that are in need, if we have the capability of assisting them and helping them, then it's our obligation to do so. But people that we can't reach, people that we can't get to, it doesn't do any good for them or us either to worry about them. But what we can do is to take them to the Lord in prayer and ask God to provide the assistance that they need. That they might receive the goods or the food or the clothing or whatever it might be that they have need of. But we also have a misunderstanding sometimes about when we see people's needs. Sometimes we apply their needs to based on what we feel like we need. When they don't need as much because of their standard of living, their way of living, and what they're accustomed to. I've told this numbers of times talking to people. I don't know how much I've missed you from the pulpit. But when I was growing up, my father had a general merchandise store. It's an old country store. It had a little bit of everything in there. And I would be in there. And then as I grew up, I worked in there some. And I would I remember back when President Lyndon Johnson started his war on poverty. Something we're still fighting, and we're not any better off on it than we were when he started it. But the war on poverty, how government was going to fix the poverty situation. And so they made this scale of people's lives and what the poverty line was. If you make so much money or less than so much money, then you're considered poor. If you make more than that and up to a certain amount, you're middle class. And if you make more than that, then you're among the rich. And when that came out, I remember hearing people, these old farmers that would come in and they'd be talking about it. And I heard several of them say, "Well, I didn't know I was poor until the government told me I was." Based on somebody else's idea of what poor was, that they put that on somebody else. So they said, "Well, we feel sorry for you, so we need to help you get above where you are." But they grew their food. A lot of the ladies would mend or make their own clothes and take care of those type of things. And they didn't have to have a whole lot of money to get by on. And they didn't worry about it. They just went about their activities. And many of them were praying people. And they just thanked the Lord for what they had and went on and enjoyed their life in service to God and just did their daily tasks day by day to get the things that they needed. And God was providing for them. And so until somebody else came in and told them they was poor, they didn't have any idea that they was poor. And so sometimes we see that in the advertisements on TV to supply help for people. And it's well and good to help people, and there are people in need. But sometimes we put the standard of how are we living versus how they're living. And how they're living, unless they are just really destitute, may be a means that they're quite comfortable with in some regards. And I've heard that with a lot of people that go on mission trips, that they go into places that they see, they think it's just terrible how poorly people are living, but they're happy in their general everyday life. They might strain to be able to get enough food to eat all the time, but they still generally are happy. Because that they make do with their circumstances. And I think this is a lot of what Jesus was saying and what Paul is referring to here is because Paul said the same thing. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. He said, if I'm abased or brought low, I'm content in that. And if I'm abound and have plenty, I'm content in that. So whatever the conditions are, he didn't worry about it. He just went on to the next step and let the Lord take care of his needs. Now, that doesn't mean to sit back and not do anything to earn them, because the Bible also says if you don't work, you ought not eat. So the idea, though, of worrying about how things go, you know, is what the Lord was talking about here, is that we shouldn't take thought or worry about where our next meal is coming from. We might wonder where it's coming from, but we just pray and let God provide for us. He'll provide either through some way that we have of working, or some way of people helping us, or interaction of help with people, and so forth. But as Paul said, be careful for nothing, or not to worry about things, but to take those things to the Lord in prayer. In the book of Proverbs, in the 16th chapter and 3rd verse, the wise man Solomon wrote, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Now, the things that you do, the things that you're concerned about, you commit those unto the Lord, and he says your thoughts will be established. Because if we are just thinking about, well, how am I going to get this done, or how am I going to accomplish this, and you worry about it, and you stress over it, and you have all of these things that are coming up. Now, certainly we have projects, and we have goals, and we have things that we work toward, but what we should have is a positive attitude that we're going to accomplish those things with the help of the Lord. And when the troubles and the stresses come and the difficulties happen that are causing us to not be able to fulfill what we're looking forward to doing, we're to just carry that to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm just going to keep on working at it. Unless you direct me some other way, I'm going to keep on doing it, but I'm going to leave the results up to you. And so we just keep on. So he just said, take your works to the Lord, and that he will establish your thoughts. Your thoughts is where we worry. And so if our thoughts are established in the Lord, that he's going to help us, that he's going to direct us, that he's going to guide us, that he's going to be with us each step of the way, then we shouldn't have to be concerned to the point of worrying of, oh, woe is me if I don't get this done, if I don't accomplish it, if so and so. But that we lay it in the hands of the Lord. We cast it upon him. That's what the psalmist said in the 55th division of Psalms, 27. Second verse, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. We cast our burden or our work or our gift upon the Lord as to what he wants us to do. He said, Lord, you know, here it is, what he wants me to do with it. How would you help me? And he'll sustain us in those things. So those things that come to us as concerns that trouble us, and most of us can fill in the blanks on this. But as parents, when your children are out or they're doing something or going somewhere that you're not there to control what's happening with them, you have concern. Well, I wonder if everything's okay. I wonder if they're going to be all right. I wonder if they're going to get home safe. Just have those things that come up. And people will just dwell on them, and they'll worry, and they'll worry, and they'll worry. And statistically, it shows that less than 3% of anything everybody or anybody ever worries about ever comes to pass in a negative sense. So it's very little that we worry and think might happen badly that actually ever comes to pass in a bad way. Our youngest son is in South Carolina, as far as I know, that's where he still is, doing line workers, helping repair down lines and whatever, or electricity of people in the storm. And we went for several days not hearing from him. And logically, we think about it, well, they're working long hours. As soon as they get off, they want to get some rest. And he doesn't bother to text us or let us know just what's going on. So we finally text him last night. And he was he said, not ready to crash and get to bed. I said he's worn out because they work 16, 18 or more hours a day sometimes. But he was okay, and everything's well and good, and hopefully in a day or two he'll be home. But still, you have those concerns when they're out there. And you think about them, and the thing that we should be doing is, rather than worrying, is having faith that God's going to take care of them, that God's going to see it through. This is what we're told time and time again in the scriptures. Just as someone said, to cast our burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll take care of you. He'll make sure that everything is okay. Even if things happen bad, it doesn't help the matter any for us to worry about them or to think about things that are bad that are coming up. If they happen, they happen. And then instead of worrying about them, again, we hand it over to the Lord and say, Lord, help us in this circumstance, in this situation, and have faith in him to take care of the problem that might arise. The Apostle Peter wrote in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, a verse that most of us hear quite regularly. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But the rest of that sentence, which is verse 7, says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, it says to humble yourselves before him, and that's what we should do. When we pray, we humble ourselves before God. We submit to him. But he goes on and says, casting all your care upon him. Your care is your worries, your concerns, those things that you don't have control over, those things that you can't manipulate yourself, or at least you don't see how you're going to be able to manipulate them. So you cast them upon the Lord. You put your cares on him. Because he careth for you. He loves you. And so he wants you to bring your burdens to him. He wants you to bring the things that are incapable of you doing to him. Just leave them there with him. And allow him either to help you or to take care of them if it's something you can't do. To humble ourselves before the Lord is to recognize that those things we're worrying about are things we cannot control for the most part. And that's why we worry about them, because we can't control them, because we can't put our hands on them and take care of them. And so we're worrying about what the outcome is going to be. What he's saying, do, if you humble yourself before him, you'll have faith in him, you'll put your cares on him, and he'll take care of them for you. Now, we have the responsibility to pray. We have the responsibility to submit to the Lord. We have the responsibility to allow him to do those things that we can't do ourselves. And yet, when we worry, we're taking that responsibility upon us. We're saying that my thinking about it, my figuring out what can happen is going to be what takes care of this problem. But what we're doing is saying that, Lord, we don't need you. And so I'm going to take care of this, and so I'm going to ponder it, and I'm going to hold it in my thoughts. I'm going to hold it in my heart to to try to figure it out, and woe is me if I can't do it. But what he's just saying is to humble ourselves and just lay it on him and let him have control of it, so that we might find that he is sufficient in all things. Going back to the original reading that we have in the 30th verse, Jesus said, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And that's what worry is those with little faith that we're concerned. Remember when Peter got out of the water? You know, "Lord, if that's you, let me walk to you." He said, "Come on out here, Peter." And Peter just got out and started strolling right along until he started noticing all of a sudden the waves. You know, they were high and the winds were boisterous. And all of a sudden he realized the danger that he was in. And he began to sink. And that's because that he began to worry. He began to take upon the responsibility. Well, you know, here I am standing out here on the water, and I'm not sinking, but all this stuff that's going on around me, all this troubled sea and everything, you know, this isn't right. I'm supposed to sink. And so he started to sink because he started to worry about the conditions he was in. Yet Jesus was just coming right along on the water, and Jesus had asked him to come out to him. So as he began to sink, then he called out to the Lord to save him. He wasn't talking about his soul, he was talking about his life. And Jesus reached out and grabbed him and walked him right back up in the ship and got him up there. And what did he say? "Oh, ye of little faith." You know, that's how many times did he say that to people? "Oh, ye of little faith." Because they either worried or they showed that they didn't believe that the Lord could take care of them in the particular situation they was in. But he wants us to come to him in all situations, and to have the faith to humble ourselves and to trust in him to take care of all of our problems. And he can do it. And that's what we need to do when something pops up and we all of a sudden have this great concern that we can't handle it, but something bad may happen. When the airplane starts to shake and you know, things are not looking, you know, very good, all of a sudden one of the engines burst out in flames, then people, what do? They say, "Wow, look at there, there's fire on them." No. They start to scream and holler and get concerned that they're going to crash. They're hoping that the pilots can do something, that there's some way to extinguish the flame, or that they can control it until they can get to a landing place. But people start to worry because imminent danger is there. And we have to take steps of actions when we can. But when you're sitting there in the plane and we don't have any control on it, then it's, "Oh no, we're going to die. You know, something bad's about to happen to us here." You know, but that's especially when you need to go to the Lord and you say, "Lord, you know, I'm ready to go. You know, are you ready to take me? You know, are you going to let me get away? Are you going to let me get back? All right. Just leave it in your hands. I can't do anything about it." And that's where that worry really plays havoc with us, because worry really causes stress on the body and causes physical problems if we worry all the time, or that we become those that are called worry warts, just all the time are thinking something's bad's going to happen because of the situation. And all of those situations are things that people don't have control of themselves, and that's why that he says, "Just bring them to me, because I can control them all. I can take care of them all. I can give you the ease, and I can give you the calmness, and I can give you what you need to be able to go on with your life and take care of things. Let me take care of the big problems that come along." And so we just need to realize that our faith needs to be increased. One of the apostles asked the Lord to increase his faith. You know, that's something that we need to have increased, is our faith in the Lord. We had faith to the saving of our souls. We believe that God can take care of things. But when it comes down to crunch time, sometimes we get a little weary of that. And we begin to think we can handle it. But then because we see, "I don't know how to handle it," then we start to stress over it. When that's really when we need to say, "Lord, it's beyond my capabilities. I need you to handle this. And I trust you to take care of it, to have the best outcome." And that's when we just need to surrender to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. He has prepared for us all that we need. He can take care of all of the things that are troubles in our life. He can take care of all of the heartaches, all of the sadness, all that comes as a hindrance to us in life, if we have the faith just to give it over to Him. And all of us have different degrees of faith and in things, and we might be very faithful in some things and kind of weak in other things. And somebody else might be more faithful in those things we're weak in and weaker in things that we're strong in. But we need to realize that He has all the power. He has all the capabilities. And so we don't need to worry or be anxious about anything, but we need just to leave it up to Him and have the faith that He's going to take care of it to the best of for us and the best for His cause. And even if things don't turn out the way we would like to see them turn out, He'll help us to get through those difficult times that come along. But again, it's just having faith in Him. So let us not have little faith, but let us have a lot of faith. And don't worry. We sing the song some. It's a song Sister Lane Wilburn sings a lot. I won't have to worry anymore. You know, when we get to heaven, we won't have any worries that we have here. But while we're here, we can sure use them a lot if we just have faith in the Lord and let Him take care of us all. That's our message. I hope that we can apply that to our lives. Those that are lost have the biggest worry of all. They're going to hell. And guess what? They can't do a thing about it themselves. Even though that's what a lot of people try to do, what a lot of religions teach, is that you can do something by your good works and your good deeds and you're helping other people and you're following the rules that they've got set down and all these things, and that might be enough. The man up at Lafayette, and he still says, "Well, I hope the Lord hears my prayers, and I hope that when I get to the pearly gates that I'll have done enough that He'll let me in." But that's not going to do it. People try to satisfy themselves with that. But to get into heaven, there has to be that repentance and faith and that turning to the Lord and that complete trust in Him, that complete faith in Him to let Him take care of it. And those that don't have that, they're missing out. And they're trying to hold on themselves to something. So therefore, they're worrying to some degree because they think they can control it. They can have some part in their own salvation. But it don't come that way. And to those that are unprepared for eternity, you need to realize that you cannot control your own salvation. You have to allow the Lord to take care of that. And that's why the repentance is necessary. That's why faith is necessary, to trust totally in the Lord. And when we trust in Him, we can have eternal life. God help us. Let's have a song. Should there be somebody here that's lost, we'd be glad for you to come and pray, and we'll be glad to pray with you. For those of us that are saved, let us just be thankful that God has the capability and the willingness to help us in all of our difficulties.
So I'll stand and turn to page number 201 and sing the first and last verse. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you.
Jesus.
After he got saved, he came in. I shook a hand with him. I said, "You're the only Brother Hugo I know." He just laughed. But I never did say anything to anybody there about it, but I noticed that you can already tell the difference. He'd come in and sit on the back seat every time. And the night after he got saved, he was sitting about halfway up in the church. And we were so thankful. I've prayed many prayer for him, and a lot of other people have. But he got saved. Anything else? Thank you for your attention. And remember tonight, 6:00. Those that can't, Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church on Fortress Boulevard. The address is in the. I think it's in the bulletin. So. Try to get there if you possibly can. I'm sure you'll enjoy the service. We'll be looking forward to it. Next Sunday, be back here expecting good things in the Lord.
Brother Maynard, I remember the first time I ever went to Murfreesboro was with Mamaw. It was me and Mamaw, and we were going to the Jubilee. And my GPS did not take me to that church.
Okay.
So I want to give you a really quick. Get off the Medical Center Parkway and turn right. That's the street the church is on. It's about a mile on the left. Just do that because the GPS, they've changed those roads over in there, and it gets confused. So just a suggestion, Medical Center
Parkway. And get off the interstate on to Medical Park. Well, like I said, just take a ride on Medical.
Yeah, that becomes Fortress.
And
it's about a mile on the left.
Right.
Country.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Remember Tuesday night, ladies' fellowship. If not, then we'll be dismissed. And trust that you'll have a good week this week.
Brother Campbell, would you pray this thing?
I'm grateful to have the Father, thank you for this other day. Thank you, Father, for your service, and the blessed sermon. Blessed Mother, blessed all those who speak in this sermon, thank you. Blessed be the times, blessed be the time. Blessed service we have for you. Blessed the Bible, the name of the law will be saved. Who lives on me, say the word. And this day, thank you for this world. Thanks to God, this gives. Jesus, thank you, pray.
Just get your jacket.